Welcome to the Sports Brewery Podcast. I'm Alex Braga. If you have any suggestions for our trivia or our list segment that happened at the end of the show, you can holler at us on Twitter at Jeromney, at TSB Ski, at TSB Pod.
Hey, Logic. Snake here. I hear you're planning world domination through a new form of Metal Gear. Well, listen to me. It won't work.
This liquor that I'm drinking got me thinking about some other shit. Feeling like I'm sinking like Titanic or some other ship. Word to your mothership. Boy, that's that gutter shit. Breaking down the weed to get high as Thomas and Cobb. But y'all ain't ready for that shit. That's more like Ultra 85.
Just watch my king close out the clips.
Yep.
You know.
Greybeard Hamas.
Did you see
non-Greybeard?
Yeah, did you see that's a big old Fox Sports 1 talking point tonight?
Skip Bayless and company. Oh, there's a chapter.
Is LeBron James ashamed of his gray beard?
That's what they were saying last night, and today Skip is, yeah,
he's doubling down on it.
He's like, where did it go? I told you it was fake.
Like he's wearing... Wait, so the sentiment is that he added fake gray highlights to his existing black beard. Is that what he's saying?
I mean, that is a conspiracy theory, so, yes.
Just for men's with a touch of gray.
That is peak Skip Bayless, by the way. That's too good. So the Lakers won today. Opening day of the NBA, right? I guess, no. Because it's like coming back, but...
Yeah, today was the first real day.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, but the season started when it was supposed to start and then stopped, so it's not actually opening day, but...
Opening restart.
I'm with it. So you watch Lakers-Clippers then?
Some of it.
Because I did not, because I was working. So how'd it go? Give me your assessment of opening or reopening night in the NBA. Because the Jazz beat the Pelicans... after the Pelicans led for most of that game, and then Rudy Gobert hits two free throws right before the end, and then the Lakers kind of outlast the Clippers is the gist I was getting. How'd it go? What are your takeaways?
The Clippers are better than the Lakers.
Ooh!
Well, I mean, the Clips were without Lou Williams and...
And Harrell.
But
I mean, you know, scoreboard aside, right?
But Anthony Davis is the biggest mismatch on the court when they play. And I'm not ready to count out LeBron quite yet. So, but the Clippers are a better roster.
I mean, you're all for Kuzma just jacking just awful threes.
Kuz
and
Instagram star Kyle Kuzma.
Kyle Kuzma, 16 points, 4 of 7 from three.
Damn.
7 rebounds. That's a pretty good game off the bench, if you ask me. But I don't know. I'm no basketball expert.
No, I watched the first quarter and the fourth. And there was a point like 7 minutes left in the fourth where they were talking about Dwight Howard and someone else. I don't remember. Someone for the Clippers. And they're like, oh, this guy's 34. And this guy's 35, and I'm like...
It's either going to be Gerald Green, maybe. They have Joakim Noah?
It was Noah. Yeah. That's who it was. It was Noah and Howard, and I'm like, and Noah's 35, and how whatever. And they're like, oh, it's been 13 years since he led the Florida Gators, and I'm like, it's been like 13 years since I watched Tawan Porter's ear tag.
Oregon got playing the Elite Eight. Oh, man, that was such a good Florida team. Who is the other fool who played, for the Rockets?
Oh, Green, Gerald Green?
No.
No.
That's going to bug me.
So they had Horford?
Yeah.
Noah?
Yep. Oh, it's going to kill me, dude. Somebody look that up. Who's got their phone at the ready?
I got it.
There you go. Okay. So, Ski, you didn't watch any basketball today?
I watched both games.
So, it's kind of cool that the NBA is, you know.
Well, Corey Brewer.
Corey Brewer. Yeah.
That was it, yeah. So, with the exception of, you know, like Lou Williams, who needed to get wings, and that fool for the Kings, who tried to get the food delivery. It seems like everybody in the NBA is very much taking the bubble life seriously. I think it helps that it's only a couple of months. And if you're one of these teams that loses early, it's way less than that. So I think that's going to help the rest of the way. Meanwhile, we have, you know, the kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, which is what all types of football are doing. So the NFL, they're like training camps have resumed. Like rookies are at training camp. You know, some veterans are starting to like filter in, but a lot of guys are opting out of the season altogether. And the reason is because there is no plan right now. The NFL has no plan right now. Unless I'm missing something.
The NFL is
saying the season's going to start on time, minus the preseason games. Guys are going to go through training camp. We're not going to even try to control what they do outside of the facilities.
I thought I saw them. They did bring up a bubble option.
How's that going to work?
They'll have like a East Coast one, you know, central, you know, just have, you know, one of the West Coast, just have.
No, they're talking about regionalizing the games. They're not talking about guys actually living at the facility, which is what needs to happen. I mean, that's a bubble. If you're going to have a season and not have anybody get COVID, that's kind of how you do it. That's kind of the only way to do it.
Well, you can do it the baseball way and just.
Otherwise, you're going to end up like the fucking Marlins.
Yeah, just don't give a shit. That's the other option.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I just saw like five, was it for the Jets? Five guys at rookie camp just popped for COVID.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. I didn't want to say it was the Jets.
And they got sent home. They got sent home. I don't know if it was the Jets.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on the team.
But I remember seeing that too, and they literally sent the guys home. So.
Well, yeah, well, the good thing for the NFL is we'll see what MLB does here with the Marlins.
Mm-hmm. Well, what the Yankees moved their next series or something like that. I didn't follow that part of it super closely. So the Marlins games got like canceled, and then they kind of rescheduled their opponents' games against other teams. Is the gist I got, because the Yankees were apparently using the same facilities or something like that, and so they like shifted their schedule around.
Well, the thing is, you can keep shifting. I don't know what's going to happen though, because
yeah,
I mean, they could be out for what, another week and missing games. All of a sudden, you have to make up.
The Phillies are out through the weekend too, right?
Yeah,
right.
But the Phillies are out just for the weekend. It sounds like the Marlins could be out for, you know, a couple weeks plus. Yeah. Exactly. All of a sudden, you're not making up 2 weeks of games against them. And you can't just give wins to it. You know, you can't just have them like forfeit games. So that'd be unfair to other leagues. So I don't know what they're going to do with, you know, one team that's, you know, 10 games short and then two or three teams that are, you know, missing three or four games.
Yeah.
I don't know what that does for the playoff system they come up with.
By the way, it was the Bills who had to send the rookies home. Yeah.
In the right general region of the country.
That totally makes sense to me, by the way, knowing what we know about Buffalo.
Well, I mean, because when I think New York City, Buffalo, New York is, you know.
Yes, sir.
Right off. Second thing I think of.
Yeah. So, and with the NFL too, you know, some of the players who are, you know, it was interesting because the players who were deciding to opt out weren't really big names. Some of them were like Nate Solder decided to opt out.
Dante Hightower.
Yeah, Hightower like did.
Chung as well.
Chung, like, yeah.
There's like six or seven Patriot players.
D'Anthony Thomas.
Yeah.
Did he opt out or did he?
Right, yeah.
Did they opt him out? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anthony Barr, though, today for the Vikings, that's a Pro Bowler.
That's a big one.
That's a Pro Bowler saying he's not going to play this season. So he didn't have a huge year last year. But he's still a Pro Bowl linebacker, and he's one of their best defenders. And so that is significant. And I think, honestly, the way this is going and the way that, the way that they're not kind of coming forth with a cohesive plan, I see way more of this stuff happening.
Well, it doesn't make sense because you could see with, I mean, the MLS has been going for what, 2 weeks now?
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks now? And with how NBA's been going for, you know, just starting up, but how they've been for the last week.
In a bubble.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
Orlando.
So I don't, and then you see what happened with baseball. I don't see how the NFL doesn't come up with something.
It's tougher. I completely understand where they're coming from. It's way harder. Baseball's in the same boat. Like basketball and MLS is a thing. You can bring all of these teams together because they're not big rosters. And they're not big. They're not as big. They're not as extensively staffed as the MLB and the NFL teams are. And so you can bring, you know, all of the league's teams together, or at least with the NBA, all of the league's teams that are in playoff contention together in one spot, which is a big compound, like the Disney World compound. And you can, you know, you can facilitate this sort of like tournament atmosphere. You can do this sort of thing. I mean, it. I don't know if the NBA wouldn't be doing this if they still had their full season to play. But if we're talking about NFL and MLB, there are just so many more teams and so many more games. Maybe not in the NFL's case, but yeah, I guess so. You know, if we're talking about a 16-week NFL schedule or whatever it's going to be, I think they took a couple games off, right?
No preseason.
Exactly. So we're talking about a 16 game schedule with teams playing each other every week. You can't do that because there's 53 players on each roster, at least. Because they're upping the roster size, aren't they, for this? And so you literally can't do that. So I understand it's more difficult, but you know, again, it's like we've talked about before. If it's that difficult, then come up with something else, right?
Well, I'm actually a little irritated.
Uh-huh.
So we've been talking NFL for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And we have yet to talk about
the top 10
players' top 100 list.
Oh, I was going to get to that. Yeah.
It's just egregious. It's erroneous.
Erroneous. Erroneous.
Well, I think the big problem with the NFL, though, is like with the NBA, they have like three courts to play on, you know, right there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have all those NFL – there's no compound that has, like, five fields all right there with where you could actually have a bubble.
You can't have 13 games going on alongside each other in the same area.
Yeah, because I was looking at the NBA schedule. Like, they're – throughout the week, they're having, like, afternoon games. Like, the Blazers play at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
They do, yeah.
They're starting early and staggering. And the NFL can't, you know, if they could find a way to play a game every day of the week – but the players would never agree to that because the time difference, you know, between games could be so skewed in favor of different teams.
I just don't – I don't see it. I don't see it.
Well, like I said, they just pull an MLB and just say, fuck it. If you just opt out if you want to. Uh-huh. Who wants to play, come take the risk. That's kind of how it's going to be.
You know who's going to take that risk? Mr. Mahomes.
The number four best player in the NFL.
The number four best player in the NFL.
The third best quarterback in the NFL.
If you ask NFL players, right? That's what the list is. It's NFL players, isn't it?
Yes. Incredible.
So how'd it go? It was Lamar Jackson 1.
Russell Wilson 2.
Who was 3? Aaron Donald was 3. Okay. Then it was Mahomes at 4. Then it was Mike Thomas at 5. And then who was 6?
McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And then my boy Kittle, the league's best tight end, number 7. Yo, you don't. Apparently, the Super Bowl champs don't even have the best tight end or the best quarterback in the NFL.
What I find hilarious is, so like, Mahomes, according to this list, is the third best quarterback. Kelsey's the second best tight end, and Tyreek Hill is like the fifth best wide receiver. But you want to know what? If I'm a DB, who would I rather guard? Michael Thomas catching a slant or Tyreek Hill running as fast as a fucking wild beast behind me? And who would I rather have throw the ball? Lamar. Who would I rather throw the ball? Lamar Jackson. Or Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson. Have you seen him throw the ball in a playoff game? He's bad. Pat Mahomes has more Super Bowls than Lamar Jackson has playoff wins.
I wonder when they did this, when they got the players to vote on this.
Who cares?
Legit curious.
Who cares?
Well, right near the end of the season, that's when everybody was on Lamar Jackson's balls. And so they were saying, you know, MVP, MVP, MVP. He's clearly the best player in the NFL, blah, 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 blah.
And then he lost to Ryan Tannehill.
And he chokes like a motherfucker.
That's right, Tannehill.
Yeah, lost to Ryan Tannehill.
At home!
Yes, he did.
It's over halftime! He lost the year before to Phillip Rivers at home! Phillip Rivers in the playoffs! He's the best player in the league! He's the best player! Pat Mahomes has more Super Bowl wins than Lamar Jackson has division round wins.
He's going full Joker on us, dude.
It's too good. Right? It's too good. But hey, I get it. Week 8, Lamar Jackson. Did you see him split those Cincinnati Bengals on that run?
He sure did do a really cool spin move that one time.
It's just too good. Haters gonna hate.
You know, you're a horrible pass interference call in the first half away from losing that Super Bowl. I just like that. with the league's best tight end.
Yeah. Who drew that penalty?
The no push off there.
Yeah.
Who did draw that penalty? Was it Pat Mahomes? Was he out there playing D? Might as well have been.
Best
he was
player
in spirit because he's got the leadership.
Pat Mahomes owns more major league franchises than Lamar Jackson's playoff wins. The best player in the league. Give me a break. Give the Texans though in week 11. He beat Florida State once. It's the biggest win of his career. It was in September. Let's move on. We got to. I mean, think about how many Super Bowls the Chiefs would win if they actually had good players. You know what I mean? Right?
Can you imagine if they had at least one of the top two quarterbacks in the NFL?
Amazing.
Russell Wilson also better than Pat Mahomes.
Russell Wilson out here in the last couple of years losing to like Jared Goff and Dak Prescott in the playoffs. He lost the Cowboys in the playoffs. Who does that? No one. Except for 1993. Legion of Boom. He scrambles, though. I'll give him that.
He sure does.
I mean, he may be worthless quarters 1 through 3, but he'll win you 9 games in week, you know, in the fourth quarter. It's Dak Prescott playoffs. We got to move on.
Wait. Who was ahead of Tyreek other than Michael Thomas?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, dear God. You sure you're done?
I'm good.
You're all right?
I'm good.
All right. How about the legend that is Joe Kelly?
That was great.
That was pretty stellar. So I got to explain the entire situation to my girl this morning. Because she doesn't really follow sports at all. And so she's like, hey, what are you guys going to talk about today? I was like, well, one of the things definitely going to be, you know, Joe Kelly throwing at the, you know, And I got to explain, it was actually really fun getting to explain the whole, the history of the Astros cheating, the Astros getting this. And not only that, but explaining the unwritten rules of baseball and how normally I'm against the unwritten rules of baseball because I think they're fucking dumb. And I think throwing at some guy's head is idiotic and, you know, dangerous and borderline criminal. But in this case, I got to explain to her how I absolutely want to go find Joe Kelly and give him not a hug, but, you know, like the elbow bump or something, because I ain't catching COVID from Joe Kelly. But I want to give him his props because throwing at Correa and then giving him the fucking pouty lip as they're walking off the field is pretty legendary. Pretty fucking legendary. And then on top of that, the fucking Instagram picture might be the best dragging of another, like, of an opponent I've ever seen. So if people didn't see it, he posts a picture of him with his kids. So he's got like two babies in one arm, and then his older kid, who's probably like, what, 4 or 5 or something like that, standing to his left. And they put the fucking Astros faces on the babies. So it's like Correa, Altuve, and I forget who they are. It's probably Bregman, right? I don't even know. I don't remember. I just remember noticing Altuve for sure. That is fucking amazing. Joe Kelly gives fewer shits than anybody I've seen in a while. And now that sports are back, it's such a nice, refreshing reminder about the shit talking that goes along with it. Because that's an aspect that I don't know, I didn't remember that I missed, was the fucking grandiose stuff that players pull, especially fucking pitchers in baseball. And Joe Kelly, so what do you get, like, Eight games.
Which is equivalent to what? 20 something? 21?
Yeah, like, I think it was 27, 26, the equivalent of regular season.
It's ridiculous. It's way too much.
No. He earned every bit of it. It's throwing at a guy's head on purpose.
It was an 87 mile an hour.
There is no debate that he threw at his head on purpose. He essentially admitted to throwing at his head on purpose. And baseball has made it clear over the last few years that if you do that shit, you're going to get suspended. And it's pretty uniform too, right? It's anywhere from, like, if you throw at a guy on purpose, it's 4 games as a reliever. But if you throw at a guy's head and then mock him as you're walking off the field, you're going to get 8 games. It doesn't matter how long the fucking season is.
What I did enjoy about the immediate aftermath,
but again,
people were like, Joe Kelly would want no part of Correa or Bregman. And I think they forget that, like, 2 years ago, Joe Kelly was whomping Yankee ass on the mound after starting. Yeah. Joe Kelly is about that shit.
Yeah, y'all
Joe
forgot
Kelly
about
is
Joe
like,
Kelly.
He's like the new Kyle Farnsworth. He's just not 6'11", full of piss and vinegar.
He's maybe
full of the piss and vinegar, but Joe Kelly's about that.
Yeah.
And that shit talking, you know, they're like, Correa's like, throw the fastball. He's like, nice swing, bitch.
Oh, he did. Like, that swing at the curveball in strike three was fucking ugly.
Well, I love when he threw at Bregman. And then, you know, there's all these cameras now. And Bregman, if you know the backstory, he's kind of okay with that because he's been on record saying he's cool with baseball policing itself, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And so when he threw at him, there's one camera on Bregman's eyes, and they get about as big as a Big Mac. You know, he's like, holy shit. And Joe Kelly's just out at the mound going, one down, and just the biggest yawn ever. Like, no big deal. Yeah, you know, I'm just throwing at him.
I love the idea of this, that one pitcher on every team takes ownership and is just like, I'm going to be that guy today. So I'm going to do this until they fucking throw me out. I'm going to do this until they throw me out. I'll eat the suspension, whatever. So you throw in this like bullshit reliever. You know what? I'll say this. Managers, eat your 1 game suspension because you're going to get one. Dave Roberts got one. Fucking start a reliever, have him throw it a couple of guys until he gets thrown out. That's it. Eat it.
I'm for it.
You're the guy. Like, or no, you like you go into the locker room. Hey, who wants to eat this today? I guarantee you, somebody's gonna step up. Some guy at the back of the fucking bullpen who's probably not gonna pitch much coming up in the over the next few weeks, anyways. Take it. Take your eight games.
Here's
everybody will fuck. When, everybody in the game will love you forever.
When do the Astros like have enough? Because there's gonna be a boiling
mid season.
Yeah, like 30 games.
I feel like if it's the second time they face a team, you know, it's the second time they face the Rangers and Shitbrick McGee is out there hucking out their heads again, they're gonna be done. I think they understood the Dodgers.
They went to the plate and like, hey, what the fuck, all that. They couldn't go past that.
Yeah, Correa got it. Correa understood what was happening. He wasn't actually mad about being thrown at. You could tell from what he was saying, he was mad about the shit talking. He's like, just you struck me out. So what? If I had a home run, I'm not going to pimp it or whatever. Which, why not pimp it? I'm going to throw at you anyways.
And you know, this shit is real when, like, every retired player, you know, that does commentating or, you know, works in, you know, I saw Nomar, they're all taking the side of Joe Kelly.
Yeah.
Did you see Oral Hershiser's?
Oral had one of the so good.
So good. That shade is so good. It's a lot easier if you know what it is than if you're guessing.
It's a lot easier knowing than guessing.
Right, yeah. So
I wish they played the Sox. I know Eck would have just some gold.
But that's the one weird thing about Joe Kelly is that he did play on the World Championship Red Sox team. Yeah. Which kind of got in trouble for the same thing the Astros did. Just throwing that out there. It's a little weird.
It was interesting explaining earlier about the intricacies of sign stealing and how
it's acceptable.
In general, it's acceptable, frowned upon. Like, I mean, it's one of those borderline unwritten rules. You know, like if you're on second tipping pitches to your hitter, it's frowned upon. Like
you can get drilled, but nothing. Yeah,
exactly. But it's not against the rules because there's basically, it's really hard to prove.
Well, but it's also, all you have to do is just change the sequence. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. But then with the Astros, obviously it's different because they're using technology.
Yes.
So the difference is using technology, and that's what teams are getting in trouble for is, you know, having their watches, having their, you know, iPads in the dugout and stuff like that. So
the only time you could pick it like during the game,
yeah,
is if you get a tip on what the pitcher's doing,
yeah,
or if you have a guy in second base. Otherwise, it's almost impossible.
Impossible.
Steal any kind of sign.
That's because catchers are taught to hide their fucking signs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the reason why they put down like seven signs when there's a guy on second base.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So my take on Correa too, by the way, and I wonder if you back me on this, is he's fucking soft because I don't care the situation. So I'm putting myself in his shoes. So yes, we're going to get thrown at. Yes, we got caught cheating. Yes, we won our World Series because of it. But motherfucker, you just threw it my head. I don't care what the situation is. You throw it my head, I'm gonna kick your fucking ass. I'm going to the mound and we're gonna fight. That's where I'm at. So I'm curious your take on that.
If it's baseball,
do you think he should just take it?
I think in that situation, you take it. The next guy that does it, whether it's like a Dodger or whoever, then you go, okay.
There's a big difference. There's a big difference between getting plunked in your ass and a guy throwing at your dome.
Oh, huge. I totally agree with that.
So you throw out my dome and then talk shit to me about it, I'm probably kicking your ass.
Well, the problem with the whole Kelly thing is, I mean, that was 50-50 on that. That was just normal pitchy through. He is not a very accurate pitcher. He throws fucking cheese. And he doesn't know where it's going half the time.
Yeah, as a Sox fan.
I mean, he almost hit four different players in that inning.
Yeah.
They just happened to be on three curveballs that he just left out.
Because he can't throw a curveball. Because
he can't throw a curveball. Except for the strikeout.
Yeah, exactly.
If he throws a nasty one.
Exactly. Yeah, David. By the way, speaking of like Red Sox, David Price came out and had some comments today. Before I get to that, do you have anything else about Joe Kelly too?
I was just gonna say it's you can hit Correa, you can hit Bregman. Actually, maybe not Bregman. It seems a little feisty. You can hit Altuve, but I haven't seen anyone hit like Josh Reddick yet.
Right.
I haven't seen that. Yeah, no one's hitting that country boy because he'll come back.
A's legend Josh Reddick.
I think Gurriel might be a little wild card too.
A little racist.
Gurriel's racist or Reddick is?
Gurriel. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah. We'll call him a wild card.
But speaking of country boys, I just saw that Harvey Updike died today.
Yes, he did. Poisoner of the trees.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang. Rest in peace, Harv.
Sure.
So the day that the SEC announces their 10-game schedule,
yeah,
Harvey Updike dies. Way to kill him. Way to kill him.
Yeah. Just hiding it behind the news dump, right?
Died at 71.
Hiding it behind the schedule.
What do we think about the age of 71? Not to take a dark turn. Is that a good age to die of natural causes?
Well,
depends on your lifestyle.
Was he killing like 12 Budweisers and like ripping a fucking can of Coke a day?
I think if you look at the guy, 71's pretty good.
I just have these thoughts that I'd rather die at 71
than
like 91, where I've been at a home for like 6 years.
71 is kind of early.
What is the death age now? Anyone have any idea? The average death age?
The average?
Yeah.
I don't know, 74?
I have no idea. I would have said like 67.
You're going to fuck up my Google algorithm here. I'm going to start getting these weird suggestions now. I'm going to get these weird advertisements on my Instagram now about like getting my will done and buying a casket for myself.
But on that note, what do you guys think of the – So the SEC did the 10-game schedule, which
SEC
they're somehow getting lauded for as being pioneers, but
it is 78 and a half years, by the way.
Ooh. Oh, wow! All right. Okay, all right.
That was in 2017. So
okay, God, that seems so old.
That seems really old. I agree. Almost 80.
Woo.
We're doing it, guys. So that means a lot of people are living into their 90s, huh? I kind of don't want to. Is that crazy?
If you could move and think, why the fuck not?
I see a lot of people in their 90s who are not doing great.
I see a lot of people who work in their 70s who are not doing well.
Yeah.
When I gotta walk by a Oregon Lung, and I know these people are getting 4 gallons of pleural fluid sucked out of their chest, I'm like,
I don't think I want that existence for myself.
Granted, they probably smoke, but whatever.
They probably still smoke, even though
a carton of fucking Marb Reds a day.
It's not filters.
It'll do. Like,
of course,
filters are for
who has a fucking filter?
Yeah.
But do we think, like the college football season is it happening?
Well, okay. So here's the news that came this week. SEC announced their schedule: 10 games, going to start the 26th of September. Pac-12, did they actually fully announce that?
It's tomorrow. It's like tomorrow, the worst kept secret.
So what they're going to announce is 10 games and starting on September 19th, because that leaked last week.
Yeah.
And then the ACC announced that they're going to play 11 games, and they're adding Notre Dame to their conference for this season. So that's how Notre Dame's going to get to play games. But again, it's all based on, what the states are going to allow, right? Because the states and the schools. Because if you can't have kids on campus, how can you play sports on campus? Isn't that kind of the deal? Isn't that the?
I think that's why a lot of schools are starting. Like both the Arizona schools announced the other day, they're starting with kids on campus.
Good luck with
that. I think it was the Georgia athletic director today, who basically said, yeah, we're going to start on the 26th because, we're welcoming students back in August. And, we want to see how bad shit gets fucked up.
Before the season starts, right?
Yeah, give us a head start.
Yeah, exactly. Let's kill some average students before we get to our scholarship.
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah. I think they could get around it by, you know, if they do like almost like a 99% online, you know, semester, they could do that thing where you have like a one credit class that's technically in person and probably somehow find a loophole to get around everything, which is
God. By the way, we're talking all online classes for sports people. The fucking cheating that's going to go on. Oh my God. It's not even a question that the football players are going to get people doing their work for them. It's not even a fucking question. Like there are going to be people paid under the table. Every program, I'm not narrowing down. Every single program is going to have a couple of students doing homework for players. Good luck proving that they don't do that, by the way. Like, holy shit. I still don't think they're going to play. I still don't see it.
You don't even think they're going to start?
So this is them having a plan, which they have to have.
Right, well, my thing is they have to have a plan.
Yeah.
Because, you know, basically we're like 36 hours away as we're recording from August 1st.
Yeah.
So just to be fair to the student athletes, mm-hmm. they have to put something forward where they're like, see, that's why we're working out. That's why we're – so we can play whoever in 6 weeks. And then it's just a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
– like, unlike the NFL, you can't bubble college football.
No.
Like, you can't bubble conference. You can't have these kids, you know, in one place for, you know, 2.5 months – They're going to sneak. Something bad is going to happen.
The individual schools could maybe try, but even then, you're talking.
Do that. It has to be as a collective to do it.
And even then, you're talking about students all going into student housing, and that's not a thing on college football teams. Usually, the juniors and seniors live on their own in their own apartment, stuff like that. So you're talking about moving the 22-year-olds on the team back into the dorms, and one specific dorm where all of the football players are and nobody can leave, and they have to all eat the same food. They can't go out. They can't do any of that stuff. And that is a big ask for guys who are not getting paid beyond their yes. scholarship.
So, well, did you hear that the NCAA is going to let them put like their own, you know, whatever they want on the back of their jerseys?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Javon Holland is going to have flat earth on the back of his.
Nick Pickett, by the way, is a social justice warrior on Twitter.
Oh, shit. Did you see that that whole fight that started between Pickett, Holland, and Terrell Crosby today? Jesus. No.
What happened?
It was
Crosby.
Micah Pittman. Yeah. He was like, I don't know. Hey bro. Opting out, can't imagine, ball is life. And Nick Pickett was like, health is more important than ball. And then Tyrell Crosby just buries him. He's like, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, you dumb 19-year-old life.
Tyrell Crosby?
Yeah, he just said he likes football. Leave him alone.
Why are you even involving yourself?
I don't know. Duck on duck crime, who knows?
Yeah.
I just felt bad for her. I just felt bad for her.
I enjoyed Nick Pickett because he dropped the y'all are really saying Russell Wilson is better than Mahomes tweet today too.
He's a good follow. He's a good on Twitter. So is his dad.
Yeah, good stuff.
Are you more optimistic today than 10 days ago that they start college football?
No.
Not finish, just start.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like they're really moving towards it. I don't think it's going to be on time. So it's weird because the Pac-12 has talked about moving, like the conference championship game is like 3 weeks after the end of the season, supposedly. And so they're giving them a little wiggle room to move stuff around and if stuff's going on. But I still think they're going to play football whether they should or not. And I think they're going to do it, again, whether we like it or not, I think they're going to play football.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Too much money involved, not to.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our list. King, what is the list this week?
Glad you asked, Alex. What? This week's list is your top three Arnold Schwarzenegger movies to celebrate his 77th birthday.
73rd, you said earlier.
73rd! I forgot.
I was just bullshitting, man. Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. This guy has had one of the most prolific careers in the history of Earth. The things that he has done in his life as a job are fucking incredible. You go from professional bodybuilder to actor to governor of the biggest state in the union, even though you weren't fucking born in this country. It's incredible. And then in your retirement, you go back to acting because everybody just wants you and shit because you're awesome. 73. He turned 73 today.
Today.
Yep.
Or 77.
73.
Well, maybe 77.
I mean, Wikipedia says 73. I'm going to need you to cite some sources.
I think I could change that.
Yes, you can. You got his birth certificate from Austria?
Yep. I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, who's going to start?
I'll start because honestly, I thought this list might be harder, but it turned out it wasn't very hard.
Nope.
Because anything after 95, I didn't even bother putting in there. So my first one, number three, the 85 thriller Commando.
Commando. Oh. That's interesting. So anything after what, 95?
95. I kind of threw Eraser in there just because it's not a good movie, but I just like it.
Yeah. Eraser. I'm looking at what was after 95. I think you're right. Because then you had Jingle. Was End of Days good? I don't even know. I never saw it. Because after 95, you got the Batman and Robin, Mr. Freeze era.
Chill.
Jingle All the Way.
You out.
Everybody freeze.
Because then he was governor for a while and he wasn't doing shit. And then he governor came Andrew. Back.
I see you.
He never really stopped doing movies, though. Even though he was governor, he still... I mean, he had like a small run. It looks like 5 years where he didn't make a thing. Yeah. Yeah, weird. And then he came back with the Expendables. Yeah, okay, my number three is Total Recall.
Overrated. My number three is way better.
What is?
My number three is way better.
I'm sure it is. I was never a huge fan of Total Recall either. I never saw Commando.
Oof.
And I don't really like much of the other movies on here. You know, we're talking about, you know, what is it? True Lies. True Lies is okay. I remember True Lies being good.
Yep.
I think I just give the edge to Total Recall. So that's my three.
My number three Arnold Schwarzenegger movie of all time.
Hey, King, what's your number three?
Grossed. A disappointing $137 million because people didn't get the art of Last Action Hero.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Movie. In the biz, they call that a flick.
Yeah, don't fuck up the terminology, Ski. Figure it out, dick.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
All right, I guess not me. All right. My number two. The 1987 thriller, Running Man.
Running Man, I never saw.
Ooh, out of left field.
Wow. Did you watch any like action movies in the 80s?
I sure did. My number one is an action movie from the 80s. My number one is the action movie from the
80s. Do you know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is?
I know.
Do you think he fought Drago? Like, he's John Rambo?
I mean, he's that actor who was on HGH a whole bunch, right?
Yeah, yes, that one.
But a different one. My number two is T2.
Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. Mm-hmm. Spicy.
Terminator 2, Judgment Day. That's a pretty unfuckwithable movie, you know? I don't think there's ever, I've never met anybody who really said anything negative about T2. I don't like the first one.
No, the first Terminator is bad.
Yeah, I think the first one's bad. I think the
seven after that, not very good.
We don't need to talk about any of those other ones.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
But yeah, my number two is also T2.
Oh, good for you! Good for you! You're such a fucking amateur.
Sarah Connor all cut up. Oh yeah, you know, liquid metal cop.
That was a good era
involved. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. Good era of Linda Hamilton there. What's that?
You're trying to say there's bad era of Linda Hamilton?
I mean, she's kind of insane, right?
Well,
we didn't find that out until after.
Yeah, that's.
I think it's because she's a vegan.
Yeah, you gotta eat some meat, dude.
Yeah, she's a weirdo because she's a vegan.
You gotta get that protein.
Like, I like chickpeas too, but Jesus Christ.
I can't get on board with you with the chickpea statement.
You don't like chickpeas? Ooh. Wow. Okay. Rate your top five beans, okay, Mr. Bean Expert.
I'm not five.
Garbanzo. Legume. I think garbanzo and chickpeas are like the same thing.
They're basically the same thing, yeah. I like a garbanzo on a salad. That's okay. I'll eat a garbanzo bean on a salad.
They're going to have that fucking chickpea in there, though, right?
Yeah, fuck that noise. Right. Who's up? Is it you?
Right. I'll go. Number one? I'm on number one. I'm keeping it up. Mine are all in the 80s.
Yeah.
Clearly that was the best time for Arnold. Is Predator.
Obviously, that's my number one, too.
Yeah. Close. I wanted to get twins in there somehow, but I just couldn't get twins in there.
I didn't.
Kill me now!
Do it now!
Do it now! Kill me!
Get me the chopper! Do it now! Are you also Predator number one?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
So you don't have Predator in your top three?
Not when there's Conan the Barbarian. No, it was Predator.
It was Kindergarten Cop?
No.
Actually,
it was Kindergarten Cop.
I actually wanted to put Kindergarten Cop number one just for the one scene where the kid's like, my dad's a gynecologist! And that was super edgy. When it came out,
he's
like, that means he touches vaginas.
he gets a look at vaginas all day long.
Which is edgy.
Yeah, that was crazy shit in the 90s. We alluded to a vagina. Can you believe it?
Shot in Astoria, Oregon. Shout out.
Yeah, shout out Astoria.
But Hollywood
2.
I saw the movie Twins on a flight to Oahu once.
Hey.
Hot Arnold movie talk.
Yeah. Are you guys pumped for triplets to come out?
Is that actually a thing?
It's in production, I think it says.
Yeah, I see that on IMDb. Have you seen who the third brother is?
No.
Take a guess.
Yeah.
Take a guess who you think they would cast.
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. Close!
You got to go in the age demographic of DeVito and Schwarzenegger, though.
Oh,
I think you can get this.
Eddie Murphy?
I said it's close.
It was definitely Eddie.
Is it Eddie?
It's Eddie. That guy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
A real curveball there.
Danny DeVito and Eddie Murphy.
I mean, it was a pretty good guess on Kevin Hart because they throw his ass in anything. Yeah.
Kevin Hart and everything, yeah.
Have you guys seen those Jumanji movies?
Nope. No.
They're not bad.
I've heard they're good, right?
They're actually – the first – you know, well, the second one, I guess, whatever.
Yeah.
The first remake is, I'd say, legitimately good.
Huh. I like The Rock.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Is Kevin Hart just not fully unbearable in it? Is that why it's good?
Pretty unbearable.
Yeah.
You know who wrote the screenplay for Triplets? Josh Gad. The guy who does the voice of Olaf in Frozen. That guy.
Oh. Wow.
He wrote the screenplay for Triplets because, of course.
That's why I want making a remake like 30 years later. When was Twins? Yeah. 90.
Yeah. How old was he when Twins? How old was he when Twins came out? Right. He had to be like 11, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, good for him, I guess.
Right.
Good work if he can get it. All right, so let's get to the trivia then, which, as you might imagine, also involves Arnold Schwarzenegger. I got to stop doing this because I keep wanting to bring up things in regards to our list, but I know they'll give away answers to upcoming questions. And so I'm literally holding back. I was like, oh, yeah, this guy was in that movie too. Ha ha, that was cool. I can't do that because then it's going to ruin the game. And then our integrity goes out the fucking
right.
Room. Yeah. Can't have that. All right, Arnold Schwarzenegger trivia. I believe King won last week because all he does is win, win, win.
No and matter what.
Is it? So are we tied now, or did you actually take the lead last week?
I came back from a 0-3 deficit. Yeah, I went.
It's 3-3?
No, I went up. Yeah, I won the series. I went 0-4 Red Sox.
And then Ski's question to me, or his request, was to bring back movie trivia. So here we
go.
I
gotta get one on the board here. Gotta stop this streak.
Here we go with some movie trivia. King's the winner. Hey, you better put your phone down, cheater. Put that IMDb down. We gotta. I literally heard you put the phone down. That's good. That's good sound effects. All right, King. First question: which movie was the first Arnold made after The Terminator? And was a film debut of Bridget Nielsen, who starred in the movie. So 1984, I believe, is when The Terminator came out. Is this first movie after that?
Zero idea.
Do you know it off the top of your head, Ski, or do you want me to give you the option?
I want to say Red Sonja.
That is correct. Good call, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Back in my wheelhouse here.
All right. Right.
No more fucking Chan Ho Park bullshit. And
oh, yeah. All that weird bog stuff that you
fucking bogs.
Yeah. Let's. Yeah, we thought we felt old talking 90s baseball. Let's do obscure mid 80s. good God.
Yeah, that's Ski's wheelhouse.
Yep.
Obscure 80s and 90s action movies. Okay, Ski, for Predator, they cast two actors to wear the suit of the Predator. The first one got fired because he complained about how uncomfortable it was. That guy was a really famous martial arts actor from Europe. Who was it?
From Europe?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That is correct. I was afraid that I was going to give it away.
It did.
Jean-Claude Van Damme wore the fucking Predator suit. Can you believe that?
It's weird because Van Damme's like, what, 5'6", too?
Yeah.
He ain't very tall.
And when did that come out?
Predator 87.
Yeah. Wasn't he famous at that point, or was he just about to become famous? I guess Van Damme was more early 90s, right?
He was more 90s shit. Yeah,
yeah, okay. That's still crazy to me. All right, King. Which 1994 movie, directed by Ghostbusters director Ivan Reitman, did Arnold star in with Danny DeVito and Emma Thompson?
Twins!
Yeah. No. Danny DeVito and Emma Thompson was Junior.
Ooh. Okay, sure. Yeah, that one too.
So I just gave you the answer. So I'm just going to skip over that question. Nobody gets a point. My bad. Yeah, so I figured that would be a trick question, and it was, and I tricked myself into giving you the answer. My bad, Ski. So, Ski, your turn.
I'm helping out as much as you can here.
Yeah, right. I got to give King the edge here. Can't go down 3-0. Who played John Connor in T2?
Fuck, that guy's name. Edward Furlong?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh boy.
Yep.
All right, King.
Good one tonight, fellas.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. The first movie Arnold made after Predator was a sci-fi thriller based on a Stephen King book in which he plays a falsely convicted cop.
I'm like 5 years old when this came out. I don't know. Pass.
It's based on a Stephen King book. In which he plays a falsely convicted cop whose chance at freedom is participating in a game show in which contestants must battle for their freedom. What was that movie? It's one we Inception. Mentioned earlier. Huh?
Inception.
Inception. All right, Ski, you know it, right?
Yeah, that was my number three, Running Man.
Yes, it was. Man, we got a I feel like Ski knows a lot about Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. This might be a little
keeping everything in the 80s here.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Let's skip around here. There we go. This movie, made in 2000, was the first movie in which Arnold appears with Terry Crews, who made his film debut as a character named Vincent. It's about a man who meets a clone of himself and uncovers a scheme to have clones take over the world. What's that movie?
Cloneheads.
Coneheads.
Coneheads, yeah.
Was that 28 Days Later, whatever the fuck it was?
28 Days Later is that zombie movie.
Yeah, that's right.
It does not have him in it.
No.
Nothing?
No, 2000s, no. I didn't watch any of that.
Yeah, right. All right, King, your options. Collateral Damage, Eraser, The Sixth Day.
The Sixth Day, because I've never heard of it.
That is correct.
Hey, Cloverboard.
Go with your gut, baby.
All right, King, this is you again. Let's see. Arnold has the amazing turn as Mr. Freeze in the movie Batman and Robin, which also had Uma Thurman playing Poison Ivy. Who was Batman in that movie?
Val Kilmer?
That is incorrect. Ski, your George option.
Clooney.
Clooney. It is George Clooney. Yep. So that means Ski's our winner. Ski got five. Probably should have had six, but I took one away from him earlier. All right, you guys want to do the rest of them? I got like five more questions here. That shit was the easiest win ever, like the earliest anyway. How many Conan the Barbarian movies did he star in?
17.
Three.
Two. In which movie does he play an ex-cop who must stop Satan from finding a bride in New York City?
Little Nicky.
That's definitely the correct answer.
Wow, you're a really big guy. Seriously. Any clue? No,
that sounds like a 2000s movie.
That's End of Days. Let's see. Okay, so let's see. What was the name of his character in the Expendables movies?
Trench?
Yep.
You're watching Expendables movies?
Yeah.
The first one.
Jesus.
First one was good.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
It's got all the action stars.
It got
man.
Everyone.
All of them.
Got
every single one. Pretty sure they did a hologram of Bruce Lee. To get the part... So to get the part in this movie at the time, because he wanted it, Arnold literally bought the production company, which was failing at the time. He was also given power because he owned the company to hire the director, Paul Verhoeven, whom he hired because he was a big fan of RoboCop. The movie was made in 1990 and was originally rated X. What is that movie?
Triple X.
So it's a sci-fi movie.
Cliffhanger.
Paul Verhoeven, who also did RoboCop.
RoboCop 2.
Originally rated X.
Rated X, that's throwing me off.
Which, this was the last year they rated X before they switched to NC-17.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Little extra trivia.
Who's Raw Paul deal. Paul Verhoeven? Who?
Paul Verhoeven, he's the director of RoboCop and also Total Recall.
Oh.
Yeah. Arnold literally bought the production company that made that movie because he wanted to be in it so bad. Let's see, one more.
Is that movie rated X for the chick with three tits? And
yeah, probably. Yeah. Chick with three tits. Yeah. Let's see. Last one. Arnold has only directed two things in his entire career. One was a TV movie called Christmas in Connecticut in 1992. His first was an episode of this TV show in 1990 that was based on horror comic books from the 50s. Had a host who would introduce serialized horror stories. What show is that?
The Wonder Tales Years.
Tales from the Crypt. Yeah. He directed an episode called The Switch, which starred that William Hinckley guy. Like, I don't know, you guys ever see Forget Paris? That you asked for it, you got it, Toyota. Like the old grandpa in that movie. He was the star of it. Also did the voice of the Nightmare Before Christmas. You ever see that?
That movie stinks.
Well, you're wrong, but the voice of the scientist that movie the voice of the scientist in that movie.
What a bad movie.
Your mom stinks.
I keep rooting for, every time I hear it, I'm rooting for Jack Skellington to finally just decompose and go the fuck away.
I'm pretty sure he did decompose. That's why he doesn't have, like.
I mean, Tim Burton, get out of here. You do the same movie all the time.
Could you imagine if he didn't decompose? Like, he's just a skeleton with, like, meat and, like, hairy skin hanging off of him.
I mean, every Tim Burton movie has a Jack Skellington or a Peter Johnny Sparrow. Depp. Yeah, Johnny same Depp. Yeah. Johnny Depp. Speaking Depp of someone Jack who does Skelling. The same thing yeah. all the time.
Yeah.
Overrated, both of them. I'm glad. Just after Edward Scissorhands, neither of them were useful.
Yeah, he sure did fucking. Well, so you don't like the first two Batman movies then?
The first one was good. But I think that came before Edward Scissorhands. Maybe? The first one? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
We're going to need a correction on that one. By the way, if somebody listens to the end of this, give us a correction. You earned it. We're gonna know you're the one. All right, you guys got anything else?
I think we're going to move back to sports after this this trivia session.
After this ass-whooping of Arnold trivia. This was King's idea, too, because he came up with the list.
Just because I came up with the list doesn't mean I know anything.
Oh, that's how it works. I'm not coming up with trivia topics on my own, man. Forget that. That's why I ask you for lists before.
Red Sonja. I would have said that was a Mortal Kombat character. I don't know what the hell that movie is.
The thing I thought was fair about
Running
that,
Man. What?
The thing, yeah.
I would have thought that was the movie where Michael Douglas was angry and killing people in his suit and tie. Oh, that was Running Man.
What movie is that?
Born on the 4th of July?
No, Kurt Douglas, Michael Douglas. This is Douglas. He's got the he's got like the buzz cut. The
That'd be Kirk Douglas.
Sure. No.
Because
it might not be a Douglas.
Michael Douglas never had a bowl cut. Douglas.
Not a bowl cut. I'm gonna figure this out. You have no idea. He's a businessman. He snaps. Oh, and he's wearing his. Is that the his game? Tie.
You're not talking about the game, are you? Because the game is fantastic. That's best Michael Douglas movie right there. The one with Sean Penn. That movie's goddamn classic. Who didn't David Fincher direct that movie too?
Falling Down is what I'm thinking of. That's what I would have said Running Man is or whatever the hell. Right. It's Falling Down.
By the way, I also had never seen Running Man. There's a bunch
I
of those.
I've never seen it. Oh man.
A bunch of those early Arnold movies I have not seen.
Well, do yourself a favor. Find those 80s Arnold movies.
I'll look them up I'll look them up on Amazon or something, because that seems like an Amazon Prime watch over anything else. You guys got any movie recommendations, by the way? Or TV shows?
What's a movie?
Yeah, a film.
I don't really come out with those anymore.
Yeah. Well, they're all on demand. You got to pay $20 to watch it.
Palm Springs. I don't know if we talked about that last week. That's a good one.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's good.
Andy Samberg, right?
Yeah.
I've heard good things. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's good.
What's that on?
Hulu
and Netflix, I think. Okay. Something might be on both.
Oh, I know Uncut Gems is back on Netflix, too. I've been meaning to watch that, the Adam Sandler one.
That's a polarizing movie.
Is it good?
Did you?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. But when people are like, it was kind of boring, I'm like, I kind of see where you're coming from.
Okay.
But I liked it.
So you were watching the game tonight. Did you not see the promo for that new Seth Rogen movie?
I missed that.
They showed it like two or three times. Quick premise here before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
He plays two characters in it. One is a guy that falls in a vat of pickle juice and is like essentially kept alive by the pickle juice for like 100 years. And then comes back to life to meet the, you know, modern day Seth Rogen character. And they pal around together and I believe start a pickle company is kind of what I got from it.
Fucking pickle juice is what pickle they're juice. Saying?
Yes, pickle juice.
So,
yes.
Okay.
I got to tell you, I'm struggling with that one. Pickle juice.
Yeah. That
lasts him for 100 years.
Movie does not sound kosher.
And with that, we bow out.
That was a dill quip.
Have a wonderful week, you guys.
Classic joke there, King.